We're going to talk about resurrection life. When I preach the word, I know I'm always challenged to do two things. One is to be faithful to the text, and also to make it functional for today. It is one thing to be true to the text and not functional. But resurrection, Easter, you know, a lot of people come to church on Easter and they never come any other time of the year. It's an amazing situation. But you know what? No matter when you come, you want to hear and recognize that the Word of God is for today. We have been listening to testimonies of lives and how God's met people, individuals, just like us, right where they're at, and has transformed them. Our opportunities are anchored in His victory. Our opportunities to find the fullness that we all want in our lives is anchored in Him, in Christ. Good Friday. Good Friday is a day that we also have set aside. I trust everyone recognizes they probably aren't at this time. You know, 2,000 years ago, they probably weren't this time of the year. They were another time. But at any rate, we have for a long time now in Christianity set aside this particular time of the year for it. But having said that, I want to say this. Good Friday is particularly a day that we're remembered by the statement that Jesus made just before He took His last breath. He said it was finished. He actually apparently said it fairly loudly. It is finished. Now, when you look at that and you think about it, I suspect that some around there might have thought that is a cry of despair and defeat. It was not going any further. Even His followers really had no sense of it going beyond right now. You know, they go to the tomb and they expect to put ointment on and spices on a dead body. So there was a sense in the group, you understand, in its context, they were all thinking, it is really finished. This is too bad. Even though He had told them over and over again that in fact 3 days later He was rebuilding the temple. It isn't over, but they thought it was over. The dream is over? No, the dream is not over. They were all depressed, but the dream is not over. It is finished. By the way, it is finished, the Greek word, has a significant thought. When you look it up in a Greek dictionary, you would see that it also has the idea of the debt is totally paid. Isn't that a beautiful truth? The debt is totally, it is totally paid. I don't know how you feel when you've had a car payment or an installment of buying a car over a period of time. You make that last payment. It is finished. It's all paid for. That's really what He was saying. Jesus was not under any misconception. Regrettably, I suspect many in the group were. It is truly paid in full. What did Jesus' death actually pay for? Well, what did it accomplish? Those are important truths as we sit here on Easter morning, because we're talking about the other side of it, after His resurrection. Why did He die? He died. His death is our source of our forgiveness and your forgiveness. We heard it in our testimonies this morning. What Jesus Christ accomplished provides us forgiveness for our sins. Lord knows any of us that have lived any amount of years recognize we have a lot of opportunity to sin. And we have a lot of potential to just have that consume us. But in Christ, the price was paid. With His death, Jesus bridged the gap between God and man. God is absolutely holy. And in eternity past, He came up with the concept that sin had to be paid for by death. For the wages of sin is death. Praise God, He didn't say the wages of my sin had to be my death. He just said the wages of sin is death. And so the Son of God comes down here, lives a sinless life, and goes all the way to the cross and dies as my substitute in my place and in everyone else's place. He died taking upon him all the sins of all the world. It is the gap between sin and redemption. Redemption is a big word to say that we have been bought back. We have been redeemed. Because in our sin, we have become unacceptable in heaven. Because of our sin, sin is not allowed in the presence of God. But Jesus Christ paid this price. And this temporary life that we're so frustrated with now can be exchanged for an eternal life that is beautiful. Now, I want to be clear on this at this point. I thought about it afterwards and probably would have worded it differently. I want you to know, everybody in here needs to know this. No matter whether you're a believer, a Christian, one who has trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior or not, when you take your last breath, only your physical life here ends. Your existence continues. If you're with Jesus Christ, if you're one of His, part of the body of Christ, then you have a wonderful future. But if not, Scripture has a lot to say about how horrible it is. It's referred to as a place of outer darkness, where the worm doesn't die and the fire is never quenched, and it is a horrible place. It's not like some of the popular songs that refer to it almost in the context of a party time. No party time if you're without Jesus. It's a horrible time. And I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that point. Hebrews 9:28 says this. So Christ was offered once. How many times? One time, 2,000 years ago. To bear the sins of many. That's all of us. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Here's the truth that I want you to recognize. I look forward to Jesus coming. May well come within my physical lifetime here. There's so much happening in the world that if you look at biblical prophecy, you need to be serious about the fact that it could easily happen within our lifetime. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 tells us in Him, we have redemption, we're bought back through His blood, His shed blood on the cross for us, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. You know that word grace? That is a word that says it's not based on your works or my works. It's unmerited favor that God gave towards us. He did it for us, that we do not have to work our way to heaven. We can't get there, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, God saved us. It is finished. He did it all. The debt is paid. Our sins are paid in full. And to that I say amen. Good Friday. But now let's talk about Resurrection Day. As much as it is finished, notice how this is stated in Matthew chapter 28. But the angel answered and said to the women who had come to the tomb, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus whom was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. Indeed, He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. But the truth is that resurrection is about He is risen. Good Friday is about the crucifixion and it is finished. The price was paid in full. But Easter is about the resurrection and it is about not it is finished, it is just beginning. It's a new life that is possible for all of us. You know, we heard that letter. Here we have an individual who came to an understanding of Jesus from every indication in jail and has now found hope, even though her situations haven't changed. But there is hope in walking with Jesus. This morning at our sunrise service, we had two testimonies, impromptu testimonies. One was about a life on the streets, but God intervened. And now there's a life that goes forward with joy. Another man gave his testimony about 14 years ago on Easter morning. he was released from the workhouse and was able to come to church. He was already a believer at this point, but he was able to get his focus once again. You know where he came that Sunday morning 14 years ago? About one block from here, over in Clearwater's Chapel. Easter is just the beginning. Now I want to read this passage and just share with you some thoughts from it very quickly. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. If you have your Bibles, it wouldn't be a bad idea to turn and open it up to there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God, our pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Three things that make up our new life. The first one is he is offering us a new start. And this is so exciting. Our congregation is a testimony of it. Many in our congregation have come to Christ or have turned back to Christ when their life was in shambles. And God has a way of taking the pieces and putting it back together. Notice the powerful promise of this passage. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. That is a powerful truth. In other words, he can grab hold of us, and as wicked and as problematic as we are, he can change us. And he can give you the ability to go another direction and the hope to get there. But it is contingent on this absolutely critical aspect. It is not talking about religion. In this morning, there are so many people in churches of all types and all stripes. But let me say this, wherever you go, make sure the emphasis is on coming to know Christ personally. It is in that personal relationship with Jesus that there is a transformation. If anyone is in Christ, behold, all things become new. What a thrilling truth. How many of you remember these things? I think they may even exist today, but when in my day, you know, we're talking a long time ago, they were a lot of fun. They were always, from my memory, they were always red. Am I right on that one? They were always red with two white knobs. I had a great time with these guys. And one of the fun part about it, you draw these little pictures for those of you that aren't there. It's kind of like, I was trying to remember the little app on a iPhone that does the drawings. It would be kind of like that. But it was before that technology. But you draw this, you draw the picture, and I would try to draw a picture of a horse. I liked horses, so I'd draw that, and draw a picture of different things. But you know what I'd do is I'd mess up often. But the beauty of it is that when I've messed up bad enough, all I would have to do is take it and shake it real good, and I'd get to start over. I'd get a clean slate, and I would keep going. I'd just start over like I didn't make a mistake before. And I always thought that was so cool. I didn't have to have a bunch of pieces of paper around that looked, you know, stupid, and I didn't want, you know, they didn't reflect what I know I could do. No, I could just get rid of it. There was all the signs were gone. Well, now I'm speaking to those that have already come to Jesus Christ. If you've already come to know Jesus Christ, we have an etch-a-sketch in our walk with God. You know what it is? It is this verse that speaks about a biblical truth that says if we confess our sins, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now the truth is, That applies to everyone if they have an understanding who Jesus Christ is. But in 1 John, it was clearly written about fellowship with God the Father and with fellow believers. It was a passage about believers. And it is such an encouragement to me. Because you know what? I suspect there are some in here today that have been Christians for a while, but have tripped up. You know it. Maybe the people close to you know it. And you're pretty disappointed in it. And I am telling you, this Easter morning can be your morning. You can confess your sins, and you can be cleansed by the power of Jesus Christ. And you can have a new beginning once again. And what a thrill that is. And that's exactly what the Christian walk is all about. We got to keep going and honoring Him, glorifying Him. Who does God want you to be? Who does God want you to be right now? Who does He want you to be tomorrow and the days going forward? If it is not who you are today and not the course you're on, confess your sins, refocus, retool where you're going, and get going for God. He is offering us a new start. He's offering those of us here that know Jesus Christ a new start, even if you've tripped up in the last months or years or days, simply by confessing. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, He can offer you an invitation into the body of Christ. What a thrill. You can become one of His, a child of God. As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But remember this. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and that's a good thing. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on them. That's not good. Let me tell you, that's fundamentally really horrible. I want to talk about the second point quickly. He is offering us a great job. He has a job for you and me that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He has a job for us to do. He has a ministry for us to do, and it applies to every one of us that truly know Him. It's in 18 through 20. Let me read it. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and was committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What's that job? The ministry of reconciliation. Think about that for a second. You and I, all believers, have been given this job. We are to be bringing things together in a positive sense. It's very specifically what He's supposed to bring together. But this, understand it at this point. We are to be reconcilers. He has also provided us the tool that we need, the word of reconciliation. You know what that is? That's the gospel. That's the good news about Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done. He died on the cross, and He rose again. The word of reconciliation is not the word of confrontation. He could have used that, but He didn't. This is a warning to us, by the way. We have a wonderful, beautiful message here. And we need to always keep in mind that our goal is to bring people into relationship, to bring them and introduce them to our loving God. It doesn't mean that from time to time we don't have to be confrontational, but it isn't first and foremost confrontational. It's first and foremost an absolutely hope-filled, beautiful message. It's not a message of accusation. I have learned in my own life that I let the Holy Spirit convict. Using the Word, I might use the Word to help them see that their behavior is sinful. But it isn't me standing in judgment of them. It was me exposing them to the Word so that they could see how God sees what they're doing. And in that context, it isn't so judgmental. It's a loving thing to do to help people come into a proper relationship with Jesus. And it's not condemnation. Although, if they do not receive the word, they are headed towards condemnation. I think we have to keep in mind that we are to have the mind of Jesus in us. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And it says in John chapter 3, verse 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. But it goes on to there, from there, and says, he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It was a message of reconciliation. And we have this wonderful, beautiful, powerful, loving message. I'm sharing that with you for this purpose. So many people have gone out and witnessed to someone as a believer and have had them shut them down. And then they have tried it again and they shut down again. And that happened 15 years ago and I've never talked to another person since. Two things that come to mind. One, the parable of the sower. If you remember the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter, 13. In Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, there are four different soils and only one of them is good soil. In other words, if you only tried it twice, tried to share your faith in Christ twice and got rejected both times, why would you be so surprised by that? It is only one in four by his own parable that you should anticipate would be the normal percentage of response. Now, the other thought is that if you have been rejected, you ought to really ask yourself, were you going with a message of reconciliation, or was it much more a message of confrontation, accusation, and condemnation instead of the love of Jesus and how he has transformed our life? Reconciliation is a beautiful, beautiful truth. That's why it says we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, and you know what you and I are called? The ambassadors for Christ. We are to deliver his good news to others. And my challenge to you on this Easter is that you'd seriously consider that. Remember who you represent. When my kids, I still have six children, but when they were littler, when we would go for different family outings and family vacations and times particularly when we would go see the extended family, one of the things I would do with the children as we were going there is talk with them about how we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Not everyone in the extended family does. And I would challenge them to remember to be a good testimony. Do you know that when you leave here today, you are a witness for Jesus Christ? You may be a good one, and you may be a bad one. My prayer is that we'd all be good ones. You know how we would be bad testimonies for Jesus Christ? If we would drive inconsiderately, we would have temper problems. Maybe we would go to a restaurant and the service wouldn't be fast enough and we would be short with them because they served this meal cold. My point is, we should remember that at all times, we are his ambassadors. And we have a responsibility to reflect the character of Christ to a lost and dying world. Remember what your job is. Job is not taking care of number one, because it is actually number one, but number one in our context, in our culture, in our day, is ourselves. And it ought not to be. It ought to be Christ. He is offering us a new start. Every one of us in here, no matter what your situation, he's offering a new start. He's offering a great job. You can become one of his that are on the, have the job description of a reconciler for Jesus Christ, bringing people into contact with God. And third, he is offering a great bonus. Look at what the last verse says. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That phrase right there is worth meditation. If you have come to know Jesus Christ, we have had imputed to our account the righteousness of the Son of God. Amen. That is a thrilling truth. No matter what has happened in the past, no matter what has happened today. When God the Father looks down on you, he sees if you are a genuine follower, believer, trust, one who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they see the righteousness of God. And for that, we have absolute assurance going into eternity. I think of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, and it was appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Here's my first question. Everyone in here, listen up. You and I don't know if we're going to make it to the end of the day. None of us do. Some of the youngest may be the first. There is no rhyme nor reason to this. God says it is appointed unto man, every one of us, men and women, young and old, a time is appointed unto them at which they're going to die. Their physical body is going to be separated from their soul and spirit. And at that point, there's going to be a judgment. If your appointed time was within 1 hour, are you ready to meet the Almighty? That's the point of this verse. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, solved the problem that all of us have with sin. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Again, in Romans chapter 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not through doing good works. It's not through coming to church on Easter morning. It's not through coming to church every single Sunday morning and every Wednesday night and every Sunday night. It isn't by that that you are saved. It is by faith and faith alone. Trust, reliance in who Jesus Christ is and what he has already accomplished. In Romans chapter 8, it says, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He has a plan for every one of us that's one of his. And you know what that is? To be Christ-like. He wants us to be Christ-like. That ought not to reflect itself in people that refer to themselves as believers and then fight like mad dogs with their wives or husbands. It ought not to be. It ought not to be that you would be a believer and then abuse drugs and alcohol. It ought not to be because it does not conform to the image of Christ. And so I'm saying, repent. I go back to the Etch Sketch verse. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And there needs to be a lot more confessing around here. There needs to be a lot more getting serious about honoring God around here. There needs to be a lot more of a commitment that this is what's really important. It doesn't matter what others think of you. It only matters what God can do through you. And God can accomplish a lot. To the world, you may just be a shepherd boy. But from God's perspective, you have the potential to be a king. To the world, you may be a slave in exile. But to God, you may be the one who's to lead his nation out of slavery. To the world, you may be a cold-blooded murderer. But to God, you may be the man who is to bring the message of reconciliation to the world at large. You know what it's saying to us? It is saying to us that we all, no matter what has happened in the past, can be used of God today. And that's what he wants. He wants every one of us in here to seriously look at our lives and say, is our life committed to serving Jesus Christ? And even before you ask that question, everyone in here needs to make sure, examine your own heart, whether or not you're in the faith. But if you're in the faith, then you got to ask yourself, am I using my life for his glory? Am I accomplishing the reconciliation that he wants? There is a need for us to be serious. The time is short. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in other words, you're a believer, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Give life and purpose through His Spirit who dwells in you. And He offers us a great bonus, doesn't He? The righteousness of God. We are not characterized by what we have done in the past from God's perspective if we come to know Jesus. We are noted by what His Son has accomplished on our behalf. He is offering us a new start. Everybody understand that? Amen? Everybody understand you have an opportunity for a new start, even today, no matter what has happened in the past. He's offering you a great job. He's offering every one of it. It isn't just for a select few. Every one of us is to recognize we have responsibility to be part of this plan to reconcile others to Jesus. I'll give you personal testimony. Baptizing you this morning, Yu Zhang, was a great thrill to my own heart because God had allowed me to be part of His process of being reconciled to God the Father. There is a thrill that goes with being part of this process of leading others to Christ that is, you know, there are just words that don't describe it. Just phenomenal. He's offering us a great job. And He's offering us this wonderful, great bonus, the righteousness of God. You and I could never, ever, ever earn it, but we are granted it, gifted to us, it's imputed to us, it's placed to our account if we'll simply trust Jesus. My prayer for you on this Easter is that you'll take a serious look at your own life and ask yourself, are you in need of a new start? Are you stepping up to the job that you've been called to do? And are you thrilled, if you know Jesus Christ, about the righteousness of God that was given to you? It ought to drive us all to praises. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be gathered on this Easter morning. I pray that as we go, and many of us will go to other meals and activities with extended families and friends, and Lord, we just pray that in the midst of this, that we would reflect Your greatness. And Father, that we would be an encouragement to others. We would be a joy to others. We would be a help to others. And may it not be about us, but it be about You. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.